get me out of here. So Bauer came up to me and said, that could be arranged. So, okay, I better shut up. So we're playing the White Sox opening day this season.
Right.
It's cold as hell.
Right.
Okay. I mean, here's a guy that almost won Rookie of the Year the year before. Now, what am I, you know, this is when you, how you mature.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, what possibly gives you the right to think you're going to walk in and take his job because you have to be a triple A?
Right. Now, who you talking about?
Sam Bowers.
Okay, he was Rookie of the Year?
He almost won.
Okay.
He had a hell of 20, right. He had 22 home runs, 70 runs batting, and hit 270, but Oliva won the batting title.
Okay. But you're still feel so good about yourself that you
felt... Man, I'm not playing.
Right.
I didn't come to that ballpark to watch. You know, I'm watching, you know, buy a ticket.
Right.
So then I calmed down, and Gary Peters pitched. And I beg your pardon, Joe Portland's pitching.
Okay.
Sam hits a line shot off in the left field, comes around first base, and pulls hamstrings.
Wow.
Bauer said, all right, get loose. Well, I win the ball game. First time I went to the plate, I hit a shot right back at Portland. Caught it.
Uh-huh.
Next time I come to the plate, I hit a double off the right field wall to Bob Walker.
Uh-huh.
I presented my dad with the ball.
Great.
And they made a big deal about that ball and stuff like that. But
right.
From that day on, Sam never got on the line again.
What were your feelings like? Did you have the butterflies, or you...
I'm scared.
Yeah.
You know, you've got to be...
Right.
Anybody that tells you you weren't scared is an idiot.
Right.
But Sam never played another game again.
Really?
That's my job.
Really?
You know, I felt bad about it, even when we won the pennant in 1966.
Oh, you know, right.
Sam and I were platooning once in a while during the season.
Right.
In 66. But when it comes time for the World Series, Hank played in all four games.
How many games did you, you played there basically every day after that?
Yeah.
Right. Okay.
But then, you know, Hank was a good manager. In fact, he's the best I ever played for. And I'll tell you why he's the best I ever played for.
Right.
Hank wouldn't let me get myself buried. You know, if he got me up against a Jim Cott or somebody like that, or McDowell or something like that,
right.
Hell, he'd sit me down my first year.
Okay.
He'd sit me down.
In other words, he had the guts to...
Yeah, don't let me go up there and make a fool of myself. You know, let me work my way up to it, you know.
Right.
And I
wound
up playing every day. I'd get my one hit off of McDowell.
Right.
You know?
Right.
And I'd get my one hit off of Cott. You know, I wasn't going to wear them out, but I'd get my hits.
Now, when that first year, what did you perceive as, like, the biggest differences between, you know, maybe an obvious
Triple
question?
A,
yeah, right.
Triple A,
yeah,
A big leagues, yeah, was, yeah, easier. And I'll tell you why it was easier.
The big leagues.
Big leagues were easier.
Okay.
Plus all these pitchers were around the plate.
That. Okay. Okay.
See, they're all around the plate.
Okay.
You know, Triple A and the big leagues are a fine line. Because you either got guys that are on their way down in AAA or guys that are just close to getting up.
Okay.
Which from AA to AAA is like night and day. I mean, they're all over the place. They're throwing the ball on the screen and everything. But you always would get something to hit.
Well, you said that was your hitting philosophy.
Exactly.
You wait long enough, you're going to get something.
Not only that, but I was a rookie.
Uh-huh.
And it took them to go around all around the league, mm-hmm, to find out, you know, to see me.
Right.
See, when I was catching, you're going to have to hit that fastball.
Right.
If you're a rookie, you're going to have to show me you can hit that fastball. I'm not going to play around with you and start lollipopping the ball up there. You hit the fastball, I'll go from there.
Right.
I'll adjust.
Right.
You know. And then I won Rookie of the Year in 1965, and we finished behind Minnesota,
mm-hmm,
who won the pennant.
Right. What were your stats, though?
260, 70 runs batted in, 22 home runs, and I had 101 walks. Slugging percentage is right below
400. That's a nice on base percentage.
Yeah, I used to get on. I'd get on.
Well, we were in batting order, were you?
Fifth.
Okay. So once again,
fifth and sixth, I'd hit in that batting order.
So who were the guy? Boo Powell?
Boo and Brooks were hitting in front of
Brooks. Okay.
Next year, we get Frank Robbins.
Right.
Here we go.
Right. And of course, the pitching staff was
Nally, Bunker, Barber, Stu Miller.
Cuellar, come on.
Palmer.
Yeah, right, okay.
No, Cuellar got traded for me. That's how I got the, that's how Cuellar got the ball. I went to Houston for him.
Oh, okay, that comes later, okay.
So, as it turned out, I hit six in that lineup.
Okay.
I had Davey Johnson and Andy Etchebarren behind me.
Okay.
So you know how many fastballs I saw.
But those two turkeys hit behind me, right?
Right.
Hank would hit me second against lefties. And he'd hit me sixth against righties, being that Aparicio was the leadoff hitter.
Okay.
All right? Okay. Not only did I have that hole to shoot through,
right,
being a left-handed hitter,
right,
but I blocked the catcher's view.
Okay.
Where right. we had to right. steal. And yeah. give him that extra two steps.
Absolutely.
Hank was a good manager.
Right.
Smart.
Absolutely.
And I liked it because I had the dynamite coming up behind me.
Right.
So I got a lot of fastballs to hit. They weren't going to walk me to get to Frank.
Right.
When you're batting sixth.
Where am I going with this?
Right.
You know.
Right.
But, you know, we had a good year. It was a good year. And we had a 16.5 game lead at All-Star Break. There was no divisions.
What happened?
We won it by 18.
Uh-huh.
You know. And then, we went into Los Angeles.
Right.
And, of course, the headlines were, baby birds don't blow up. Don't deserve to be on the same field as our Dodgers. Right?
Right,
of course,
right.
four games later, we all went home.
Right,
we
right,
swept them.
Right, right, right.
So it was a great year. It really was. And everybody was so close. And I mean, off the field, too, family-wise.
Uh-huh.
I mean, it'd be nothing for 10 or 12 of us to congregate at one of our Boog's house or my house for a barbecue after the game was over. Wives, children,
right.
home. It was a great, great ball club.
Were you surprised when you found that Davey Johnson was going to command the Bean Center? Did you see that in him, or you didn't really know him that well?
Oh, I knew Davey. Davey and I roomed together.
Oh, you did? Okay.
Oh, Davey and I, we came up through the minors together.
Oh, okay.
No, it didn't. Davey was a good manager. Davey's a book manager.
Okay.
Davey goes by the computer.
Yeah.
All right, and that's how he does it. You know.
I think he took mathematics.
I think Strawberry wrote it. Daryl Strawberry wrote it.
Uh-huh.
He created a monster with Strawberry.
Yeah.
See,
yeah.
Nowadays these guys don't listen.
Yeah, right.
All right. And that, you're seeing that with California.
Yeah.
Carew came out with a statement the other day.
Right.
That, you know, he's trying to tell these guys. I mean, the man only won 15 batting titles. I mean, he should know how to hit.
Right.
And these guys ain't listening.
Yeah, right.
So what? You know.
Well, they're making five times less money.
Right,
yeah,
yeah. I never begrudge anybody for what they can make, as far as that goes. But, you
right.
know, the man's going to pay his salary. He's going to assure. The way I look at it is, if the management division of baseball guarantees your family security for
right.
5 years, damn it, give
right.
the man a day's work.
Right.
All right? And you got to play hurt.
Right.
You got to play hurt. I don't want to, you know, I played hurt every day.
Right.
I never was on a disabled list in my life.
Right. Now, Aparicio was, do you remember any particular play or anything about him? I mean, he was something special.
It was just every day.
Right.
Him and Brooks on the same side of the
right.
What are you going to do with that?
Right.
You know, everybody, you know, Boog's a good infielder, too. Boog was a hell of a first baseman. A lot of people didn't give credit for that. And Davey was a good second baseman. So we had a diamond infield.
Absolutely.
I mean, these guys, we, you know.
Which park did you like to play in the best?
You know, the park I really enjoyed. The park I was most successful in was Yankee Stadium.
Okay.
All right. I used to crank them out here one after another.
Okay.
Maybe that was a little head job, too, because I was still mad enough for getting rid of me.
Okay.
Okay.
I had, of course, the right field.
Yeah, well, I had three. 375 lifetime against the Yankees.
Okay.
I had 14 or 15 home runs against them.
Uh-huh.
Boston was my favorite park. I would have given a year's salary to play there 1 year.
What made it that way?
First of all, it was all friendly. All right. It was all friendly. The fans would applaud a good play by either team.
Okay.
They were close and they were very
right.
personal. They were nice people in Boston.
Right.
Very nice people.
Right.
But right field was about 375 miles out of the
yeah,
way.
Yeah, sure.
Long way out in the bullpen.
And then you have the wall with monsters.
Right. But I didn't care about that because I never hit the ball in my field anymore.
Okay.
But my swing was so natural in Fenway because it was such a long way to right field
mm-hmm.
that I didn't try to overpower the ball.
Okay.
And I wound up very successful in Boston. I hit a lot of home runs in Boston.
And you never hit to the opposite field?
No,
basically never?
I couldn't throw a ball left field.
Really? And anybody ever try to...
Well, they always shifted on me.
Uh-huh.
In fact, in Yankee Stadium here in 1965, I got a stand-up triple on a bunt.
Really?
Yeah. Everybody was over.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Pepe was on the line. Richardson was in the hole. And I forget who the hell was playing shortstop. Cleet was playing. Cleet was way over by shortstop. And I said, the hell with this. I was leading off the inning. So
right.
this, you know,
right.
if it was men on, I would have done.
Mm-hmm.
And I just turned around, you know, I squared around like that, and I went right down
right.
the third baseline, and stand up to
anybody ever try to get you to hit the opposite way, or?
You mean teach me to hit the other way?
Yeah.
Yeah. 1969, Harry the Hat. 67, I had a hell of a year.
Okay.
We didn't go anywhere. Complete letdown. We got to race like hell.
We played right field?
Was playing left.
You playing left.
Because Frank wanted to play right.
Okay, we could have.
I'd catch, too.
How often?
When we needed to get another left-handed hitter in the lineup, okay. Russ Snyder, right. Bench at your bar and put me behind the plate.
And you said that you liked catching earlier.
I
you
loved
still,
it.
You still did, right? Didn't bother you?
Jim Russo, the super scout with Baltimore. Yeah, I thought I would have been another Dickie.
Really?
Didn't put me behind the plate.
Really? So it didn't bother you?
No.
Right. Okay.
I had 81 runs batted in that year, 23 home runs.
They say some guys, you know, a new position, they're thinking too much, and it's hitting
the other way around.
I
just went up to the plate when I was catching, normally, because my main concern was on my pitcher.
Right.
You know, I wanted him to...
67, and you really...
I was moving around. This is when we had a lackadaisical.
Right, and you said that moving around the catching, etc. Would you say that maybe being a catcher maybe helped you with your hitting a little bit, or it didn't really have any effect?
No, it didn't have any effect. The only thing that switching around will do to you, if you don't program yourself and get yourself right, is it'll hurt your arm.
Mm-hmm.
Because the outfield, first base, and catching is three separate throwing positions.
Right.
Up top, three quarters, and side arm.
Right.
So, you know, I played with a sore arm my whole career, but nobody ever knew it.
Uh-huh.
And Eddie Wiener, who was with the Orioles, waited 50 years for a World Series and finally gave him one.
Uh-huh.
He worked on me like a dog before those games.
Well, like, how'd you get away with that? Wasn't it obvious, like, throwing from the outfield or...
No, because I had a gun.
Oh, in other words,
you... He put my arm down so hard that it would take the pain away for the time period for the game.
Oh, I see. Okay.
I mean, I turned three Detroit Tigers around in one game catching. They started off stealing second base. They stopped and ran back to first. That's how quick the ball got down.
Okay, so it was during the game the pain wasn't there. It was just like afterwards.
You could feel it, but I always wore a long sleeve sweatshirt, and then I always, you know, the hotter the better.
Okay, you could plug through it.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Oh, yeah.
You got to be a little.
Because there's guys in Rochester want my job, and I wouldn't let that happen.
Okay.
I had a family to support, and I loved the game. I worked too hard to get to the big leagues. I'm not going to give it up to somebody else.
Right.
And it was in the elbow, wasn't in the shoulder. It was in the elbow.
Right. Now Bauer was still managing?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. So that season went through.
Okay.
We finished fifth with Washington. We had a terrible year.
Wow.
Just everybody got, what we did was we let our guard down. Here we sweep the Dodgers the year before.
Right.
And we come to spring training like a bunch of hot shots, right? And of course, Frank got hurt, too.
Okay.
He got hurt that year. He was out for a while. And so 68 comes around. And we go ahead and we're hanging in there, you know.
Okay.
After that, then we went to a losing streak. And Jerry Hofberger hated Hank Dar because I was having a hell of a year in 67. And Hank got notification from Jerry Hofberger all about the bench because we weren't in the pennant race. Bench me so I don't have a hell of a year so I can negotiate money.
Uh-huh.
You know, play the rookies, play the kids.
Okay.
So. We were in a pretty much of a tailspin in an all-star break, and they fired Hank.
Okay.
All right. Hank still, you can ask him. Hank, to this day, contending, says, you cost me my job, because he said, you played me every day. And he'll kid about it, but you know, I love the guy, really good. And as soon as Weaver took over, he benched me.
Uh-huh.
And that's when Elrod Hendricks did all the catching.
Yep.
Okay.
Right.
So, it was a miserable year. I had a terrible year.
Mm-hmm.
And going through the winter, that's when I had my problems with my first separation with my wife.
You think the one thing had to do with the other?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I took it home, good or bad.
Yeah.
You know?
When you did get a chance to play, did you, like, press more?
I did everything I possibly could. I wanted to get back in there.
You know? Right. You think you were pressing too hard looking back now?
Yeah,
that made it worse?
So.
Yeah.
I think so. But I was having trouble at home, and we separated, and I had an apartment in Baltimore. And I moved out of the house, I had an apartment in Baltimore, and a brand new baby girl.
Yeah. Okay, so that made it even harder.
Sure, it made it tough.
Right.
But I couldn't cope with her.
Right.
So I come home one night, because I was working out or whatever like that, and I turned on the news, you know, and said, "Sports update." Orioles make big trade. All right? I says, all right, who'd we get?
Who'd we get?
You know. So I says, I went in the kitchen, I mixed myself a drink, I came out and sat in the chair. I says, today the Orioles traded outfielder catcher Kurt Blefrick to the Houston Astros for Mike Cuellar, Elijah Johnson, and Enzo Hernandez. I says, what? You know, because they call you. They always tell you beforehand if you're trading. Yeah.
You think it was purposely?
They don't. Kept on. When I finally got in touch with him, he says, Kurt, we were trying to call you all day. We couldn't find you.
All right.
We didn't know you knew. You know, you could have called my home.
All right. So you are surprised?
I was mortified.
Happy, angry?
I was mad as hell.
Right. Okay.
I was mad as hell because here we're getting ready to go into a dynasty.
Right.
Now. We got Frank back and everybody, you know, Don Buford with us and everything.
Right. Right.
So I go to Houston. I had 200 that year in Bowman, that last year, May 68.
Okay.
I go to Houston. They bring me down to Houston to sign me, and Houston runs a big caravan every year. They run a bus through Texas, mm-hmm. trying to promote ticket sales. You know, you go to Midland, Odessa, you go to Wichita Falls, you go all over the place.
Right.
So I get on the jumper with them. And this is when we're supposed to get Don Clendenin, too.
Okay.
We had a hell of a ball club coming in Houston.
Okay. This was 1969. Right.
So Harry Walker's the manager. And Harry was a popping glider. Okay. All right? He wanted to pop and glide. You know, serve it up like a woman. All
right? Right.
In fact, he used to bunt with the winning run on second base.
Yeah, well, he was a singles. I think he was the batting champion.
He was leading the batting.
Yeah, but he wanted everybody to hit like he did.
Yes. We had Johnny Edwards that year, too. We're both dead pull hitters, and he's trying to make us hit the left field.
Right. Which is the way he used to play.
Right.
Right.
But the thing is that who gets traded leading the league and hit?
Right.
He did. He went from St. Louis to Philadelphia, Philadelphia to St. Louis. He was hitting 324, and he got traded.
Right, right.
Get rid of him. The maniac.
Yeah.
When I played for Houston, that was the only team that the players were allowed to drink in a hotel bar. Because Harry didn't drink. See, that hotel bar is reserved for the managers and coaches.
That's fine.
But Harry didn't drink, so the players were there. He didn't care.
Okay.
So, 69.
Who else was on the team?
Joe Morgan,
okay.
Jimmy Wynn, Doug Rader, Dennis Menke.
Pretty decent.
We had a hell of a ball.
Pitching?
Larry Durker, Wade Blasting Game, Jimmy Ray, Gladding. We had Tommy Griffin. We had some fireable Don Wilson, the late Don Wilson.
Sure, sure.
Okay, that'll go back to the caravan.
Okay.
We're on a caravan, and Don and I get to be great friends. Don's black.
Yeah.
Okay.
Committed suicide, I think.
Didn't commit suicide, he gassed himself.
Oh, it was in the garage or something, yeah.
Okay.
We
can go
into that
later,
too,
yeah. But Don and I hit it off great.
Uh-huh.
I said, Don? I don't know. Great. Okay. Here's salt and pepper now. Here we go. Right?
Yeah.
So beside me getting letters by the bagful being a nigger lover, he's getting letters by the bagful being called Uncle Tom.
Well, you're down in Houston, Texas.
Yeah. We didn't care.
Was that unusual in Major League Ball?
First one ever did it.
This is the first time in Major League Ball.
Yeah.
The black and white.
Sure is.
Okay. And this is 69 already.
But we didn't do it for anything for status. We
you did it
because
you liked each other.
We liked each other, and I'd helped on.
Right.
I'd helped on.
Right.
All right. 69 season, we almost won the pennant until Harry Walker started managing.
What part of country was he from, Don?
Alabama.
So he's from the deep south. Okay. You're from New Jersey.
So,
yeah.
He started managing the last month of the season. That's
okay.
when we lost it. He just shut up and sat in the corner like he was supposed to. We'd have won the damn thing. We go into Atlanta. That's the year Atlanta won it.
Yeah.
All right.
That was the first year with the playoff.
Right. That's the year Atlanta won it. And we went into Atlanta and we lost 5 straight. We were a game out of first place.
Oh, wow.
We lost 5 straight. Okay. He had me benched against lefties. I played all year. Then he decided to put Menke at first base, Martinez at shortstop, weak in 2 positions. And the whole play went up in
it. So you were playing first?
I was playing first base.
Right, okay.
I led the National League fielding.
Okay. Why, did they have a bunch of left-handers or something? Why did he bench them?
He started thinking.
Okay.
All the guys were just burning.
Right, okay.
No so we lost it, and I went up to John Mullins after the, he was the general manager. I went to John Mullins after the season was over. I said, John, I said, you've lost me a contract for $100,000. I said, I'm just maniac next year.
Mm-hmm.
I love you. I love your town. I just thank you so much for the opportunity to play in Houston.
Mm-hmm.
I said, I'd like you to trade. And if you could trade me, trade for the Yanks.
Mm-hmm.
I'd like to go home.
Okay.
You did.
Good.
You did.
Let's talk about that a minute. You played in the Dome, right?
Oh, yeah.
Well, how'd you like that?
Loved
what
it.
Was that like?
Yeah, I loved it because it was cut out in the infield.
Okay.
See, I was a line drive hitter primarily.
Right.
When you hit a line drive over a second baseman's head, you're trying to hold a guy to a double.
Right.
You know, it's not cutting it off in the alleys.
Okay.
And I played first base. I got the true hop.
Right.
You know, and the whole 9 yards. In fact, we set a major league record for double
right.
plays in the nine-inning
right.
ballgame.
Right.
That's in the Hall of Fame, too, by the way.
How many home runs you hit in the Dome? Not too many, right?
I had 16.
You did? That's a good shot.
Yeah, 16. But... you know, Bobby Clemente and I were good friends.
Uh-huh.
And we used to play against each other in spring training. And I never played in the National League before, you know.
Uh-huh.
So when I got traded to Houston, I went to Bobby Bradenton. I says, I'm going to tell you one thing right now. If I ever hit one down your way, I said, I'm not thinking of singles.
Okay. This is Clemente?
This is Clemente. Lo and behold, Pittsburgh's in the Dome. And I hit a shot over the first baseman's head, Stargell's head.
Right.
Right? And I hit, and I could run like hell.
Uh-huh.
I could run.
Uh-huh.
And I hit first base, and I just tore in a second, and there's the ball waiting for me.
Yep.
And I look out in right field, Bobby goes,
that's Clemente.
He threw a seed.
Yeah.
Well, this is Willie Stargell. Hear that?
Yeah.
Hear?
Uh-huh.
Yeah, knocked my teeth out of my head. Stargell hit me, and he hit a ball down on me so hard that it hit me, hit the ground, hit me up here, bounced in the right field corner, and Willie pops his hole aside laughing, said, damn hard coming around first base.
Right.
We were a good friend. We used to do a lot of stuff in the offseason together. He was just a wonderful gentleman. I told him, I said, Willie, I'm going to get you back. I didn't know that.
Uh-huh.
The next series that came in there, I rifled him off his ankle.
Okay.
He never got the glove down. You know, he was a good field first baseman. You know,
but that was part of the game.
That was part of the game. Everybody was loose,
right,
you know.
Right.
You had your brawls, you know,
right,
and stuff
right.
like that when you had bad blood between two teams, like when I was with San Diego. It was San Diego, Montreal.
Uh-huh.
Gonna fight.
Right.
Gonna fight. And I hated it because you could, I don't care what, that's the worst brawl you can ever get into. You can go out in the street and fight somebody in the street and not get hurt as bad as you can in the ball because you don't know where the hell they're coming from.
Right, right.
We even switched bullpens in San Diego when Montreal came into town.
Really?
So
what caused that?
Because ours was on the first base line.
No, I mean, what caused? Just
I don't know, just bad
those
blood.
Two guys, some incident.
Yeah, something didn't work, you know, somebody knocked somebody down or whatever like
what
that.
What about the turf on your legs?
Didn't hurt me because there was no turf.
No, I mean, was Houston, it hard though?
No, Houston had the infield cut out.
Oh, okay.
Had dirt.
Okay.
They just recently went over the top of it. Y'all, the poor outfit was a kill. Jimmy used to, switch shoes. He'd wear soft, no cleats in the outfield, and then when he came up to hit, he'd put his spikes on.
Now, with this white-black thing with you and Don Wilson, did eventually that begin to die down, or?
It died down. Other guys did it.
Right, okay.
You know, it wasn't a status quo thing or whatever. We were just good
right.
friends.
You were the first, and yeah. once people got used to that, another guy
sure,
started.
What's the
yeah.
difference, guys? You know, as your teammate, yeah. it's different as color make.
Yeah, right. Well,
you know,
okay.
I mean, that's the trouble with this world today.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, man's black, green, orange, who cares?
Okay.
He's the man. He's a human being.
Yeah, but in those days it was...
I don't care about them. I was a rebel any damn way. That's why I'm not in the game anymore.
Right, right.
I spoke my mind, you know. I aggravated a lot of people, you know.
I know.
I mean, I've applied for jobs right now for the Marlins, the Colorado Rockies. I can't even get a phone call.
Really?
I can't even get a response.
Okay.
So evidently, I was a ball player by night, an axe murderer by day.
Okay.
You know, that must be the way it is, because I see myself right now, I'm in a job right now where it's going nowhere. All right, I work for a men's clothing chain, but it's not going anywhere. All right?
Okay.
I distribute clothes to different, to the four branches of the stores.
Right.
I'm tired, I hurt every day when I come home in a home run yard, but it's a job. It buys groceries, and it buys my lottery
right.
tickets.
Now, at the end of, you know, you went and asked for a trade to the Yankees.
Yeah. Okay. December, I got traded.
You had it. Okay.
John traded me to New York for Pepitone.
Okay.
Joe went, Joe, you traded one problem for another, that's what you did. All right?
Different kind of problem.
Yeah. Well, yeah. Joe was a left-handed hitting first baseman, I'm a left-handed hitting first baseman. Yeah. What's the benefit of that trade?
Okay.
Okay? I came to New York, and I got stupid again. Okay, I'm
New York. First of all, you must have felt good about that.
I was ecstatic. You know, right. my first wife,
sure.
Her family was from Jersey, went to high school together.
Sure.
So, I beat their brains in for all these years at 192 pounds.
Now, I could backtrack a little bit. In your 1 year in the National League, did you notice any differences between the two leagues?
The challenger.
National League and the challenge.
They'll go after you, boy.
And fastball.
Oh, yeah. 2-0, and you're going to get hit me.
Okay.
You know, and I'm playing against guys like Gibson and those guys right. like that. They're right. playing games with you.
Right, right.
More Seaver.
More aggressive base running.
Oh, yeah. More aggressive league.
Played more for the one run, maybe, than just lay back and go for three and home
right.
and things like that.
I did play hard.
Okay.
I played against all the great ones, you know.
Right.
Pete Rose, Bob Gibson, you know,
right.
all
right.
Bob Deal, all these big
guys. Okay. Okay,
you
so now we're back. Yeah.
Yeah. But what I'm saying is that, and it's a message I convey, you can not hire me and use my knowledge that I've got stored in my mind as far as a hitting instructor or how to play this damn game
right.
the correct way.
Right.
All right? You can do all that and deprive me of that if
right.
you want to,
right.
but you can't take away my memories.
Okay.
Okay. You can't do that to me.
Good
I've got
good.
Them.
Good
so
attitude.
if you want to be a hard ass and not
right.
not let me get back into the game. That's all well and good,
right.
all right? But you ain't taking my memories away from me because they're mine, and I earn them, every damn one of them.
Absolutely. Well, what happened with the Yankees?
I gained 15 pounds on the offseason because I wanted to get stronger. Now, how stupid is that? I beat their brains in at 192 pounds.
Uh-huh.
So I was out of shape, and I had a gut, which was my mistake. Well, they had to carry my batting average at the end of the year out 17 decimal points to get me to 200. And
I mean, this wasn't their idea for you to put on weight. You thought
no,
that
it was
that
a bunch of garbage. But that was the year that almost was. See, it was Pete Ward, Ron Hanson, Danny Cater, myself. We all came over to the Yankees.
Mm-hmm.
And I hit a home run in the bottom of the ninth inning off of Frank Nagy with Boston
okay.
to secure us second place that year.
Okay.
We, that's the gentleman that's going to write this book.
You're right.
It's coming out this spring.
Okay.
And
let's see, who was on the Yankees now in 70?
Well, we had, Cater played first.
Right.
Horace Clark played second.
Right.
Gene Michael played short.
Okay.
Bobby Cox played third.
Okay.
I played right when I was in there along
right.
with Ron Woods.
Right.
Roy White played left.
Right.
Bobby Mercer played center. Thurman caught.
Okay. And pitching?
Pitching, that's Steve Klein, Mel Stottlemyre, Stan Bonson,
okay.
Fritz Peterson.
Okay.
Hamilton.
Okay.
Steve Hamilton.
Okay.
Eddie McDaniel.
Right, right.
We had a great club.
Steve Hamilton was supposed to be a character.
He was super.
Right.
He was handball.
Remember anything particular thing with him?
He started that folly floater. All right, the old second
that was
pitch,
the old
hesitation pitch?
Yeah.
You can only throw with nobody on, because
right.
it's a balk otherwise.
Right.
And what the hell was his name? Guy with Boston. He went nuts.
Oh, Jim Pearsall?
No. Horton.
Okay.
Horton. All right. He threw Horton's volley floater.
Uh-huh.
And he fouled it back about that high off the ground.
This ball went, what, like 10 feet up in the air?
Yeah,
the young
like
right
a slow
here.
Pitch. Hard.
Yeah, right.
And he's yelling out at Hamilton, one more, give me one more. So Steve threw him another one.
Uh-huh.
And he popped it up about 2 feet in the air and Thurman caught it, you know, and he crawled back to the dugout on his hands and knees. It was hysterical.
Right.
Man,
right.
He went bonkers. Same. Tony Horton.
Tony Horton. Okay. Munson, very intense guy, right?
Yep.
Yeah. What about off the field, same?
He was always thinking.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
Thurman enjoyed. He was a good hitter.
Yeah.
All right. Thurman hit the ball where it was pitched.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And it was just a shame what happened to him.
Yeah.
He was captain of the Yankees. You know.
Yeah.
He been all
of. Did he ever talk about, you know, disappointment being with the great teams and now he...
No, because we used to sit in the sauna after the games were over at the stadium, you know, we'd sit there for, after everybody left, we'd sit there and, you know, he'd want to talk, you know, about hitting. I helped with his hitting, you know.
Uh-huh.
It was, you know, it's one thing I was a good hitter.
Right.
And I could teach.
Yeah.
And that's the difference.
Right.
You know, you got great hitters that can't teach.
Right. That's right.
And if you can't teach, you're worthless.
Right.
So I used to help with his hitting, you know.
Okay.
I helped Bobby with his hitting. Bobby and I were roommates.
Bobby Richardson.
Of course, of course, and I were roommates.
Who is managing that?
Ralph Howell.
Ralph Howell. What do you have to say about him?
Good skipper.
Okay.
Good skipper.
Yep.
He was fair. He gave up on me after the 70 season, which I don't blame him. Mm-hmm. I really don't. You know, I was just...
How did you end up? Well, you said...
17 points.
17 points to get to 200. Right.
200.
Okay.
But that winter, I decided I put myself on a strict diet, and I worked out with Johnny DeZiegel, who was the trainer for the New York Football Giants.
Oh.
I worked out 5.5 days
uh-huh.
in Yankee Stadium under uh-huh. his supervision.
Right.
I used to run up the top upper deck,
right.
those stairs.
Right.
And when he finished with me, I was 189 pounds, and you could have shot an arrow.
And when you were like a balloon, how about?
215.
215, okay.
I was 189 pounds, and you could shoot an arrow at my body, and it would just bounce off.
All right.
So I got to spring training. And Ralph had already given up on me.
Okay.
Well, I had a good spring. And he gave Jimmy Lytle the starting job.
Okay.
Right field. Okay. We're opening a doubleheader in Washington.
Opening day, doubleheader.
Okay.
So President throwing out the first ball, all that stuff?
Yeah, the whole nine yards.
Yeah, right.
So, I'm not playing. I'm not going to play. Okay. So we're working out the day before, we come to town the day before, we're working out the day before,
right.
You know, all of a sudden I hear sirens and ambulances and they're holding out of yards, you know, and they're wheeling Lytle off the field. He had an emergency appendectomy.
Really?
With a little smile.
I think he's here this weekend, isn't he?
Is he? I don't know.
Yeah, I think so.
Let's see. Yeah, he's here.
Yeah.
So I had a little smile on my face.
Unless you had this with, Sam Bowens?
Yeah, same way.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So I went ahead and just, you know,
right.
went to Hal and said, can I play now?
Uh-huh.
He says, you're in there.
Okay.
So I go ahead and play in the first game. Jim Brosman's pitching.
Mm-hmm.
I hit him inside the park home run.
Oh.
There's only three ever hit in that stadium.
Mm.
I hit it between Frank Howard and Curt Flood. What better two guys could I hit
That's
it between, right?
And
stationary and stationary.
Obviously, you can still move.
I could run.
Yeah, sure.
So the ball and me got there at the same time at home plate. Jimmy French was the catcher, and I just ran right over top of him. I didn't run 360 feet to get let him tag me out, right?
Okay.
So I just crushed him.
Well, football is very game and handy, right?
We played 1-0, we beat.
Wow. That was
the game. Second game of doubleheader, I hit on base it off of Casey Cox. Won the second game.
Wow.
So I had a good day.
Yeah,
and I went on and on and on, you know, you're playing sporadically
right,
here,
right,
whatever, you
right.
know.
Did he play regularly yet, or?
Well, I was platooning with Ron Woods.
Okay.
You know, which upset me.
Uh-huh.
And you know.
Yeah. But he had sort of made his mind up already about you.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. Yeah.
So, you know.
So went through the rest of the year that way?
No, mid-season I got traded.
Okay.
I got traded to Oakland.
Okay.
So I thanked him for that. He traded me right to the divisional title.
That's right. This was
1971.
All right, so now you're talking about teams with Reggie,
Joe Rudy, Mike Epstein.
Okay.
Dave Duncan.
Catfish on the pitching
Catfish.
Staff.
Could
have been too unhappy about that.
Well, Angel Manuel, Sal Bando, Campy Campaneris,
Dick
Green.
Yeah, you could have been too unhappy about that.
Well, when I joined them, I was 5.5 games. They were 5.5 games in front, so I shut my mouth.
Yeah.
I'm not breaking that lineup, so forget about it.
Okay. Yeah.
But I played hard for Dick, and he appreciated it. I pinch hit for him. I spot started for him, you know, and I went through the whole season there. I had a decent year for him.
Right.
And
Dick Williams.
Mm-hmm.
Right. What did you think of him?
I thought he was an excellent manager.
Okay.
But now the trouble started.
Yeah.
Okay. End of the year, Baltimore beats us 3 straight.
This is the 3 out of 5 playoff.
Right.
Idea.
Beat us 3 straight.
Right.
Okay. So we're all sitting in front of our lockers, packing our bags, getting ready to go home, overnight to Mexico. So he said, he did a hell of a job for me. Mm-hmm. He says, if there's anything I can do for you, he says, you let me know. Mm-hmm. I says, you can do one thing for me. So you give me the opportunity to be your starting catcher next year.
Who was catching?
Dave Duncan.
Okay.
Did about 140.
Okay.
So he says, you got it. Mm. I went to spring training that next season. I had like 7-8 home runs, like 350 in spring training. Threw out 80% of the runners that were going on me.
Right.
Duncan had a miserable spring. Opening day, Duncan's catcher. I lost it.
How, what would you?
I lost it. I just lost it.
Yeah.
I called the papers and I said, get me out of here. Uh-huh. Get me the hell out of here. See.
Dick, what made you think, why did he go that way?
I don't know.
Okay. That was not
I don't know.
Okay.
And that was the start of my downfall.
Okay.
That's when I really pissed somebody off big time.
Uh-huh.
You know, I mean, that was it, you know. And he says, you know, it can happen.
Yeah.
You know, we can
yeah.
do that, you know.
Yeah.
And then I apologized.
Yeah.
All right. And then halfway through the season, they traded me to San Diego. San Diego was the worst ball club I ever played on in my entire life.
Okay.
My college team could have beaten them on a given day.
Uh-huh.
That's how bad they were.
Uh-huh.
And didn't care.
Uh-huh.
Did not care. Did not care. The
right.
Here you know, I'm coming off world championships and playoffs.
Yeah.
And I mean, intensive, you know.
Yeah.
They had a good ball club.
Yeah.
They had
Cito
Gaston. They had Nate Colbert. You
right.
know, they had
right.
a good ball
right.
club.
Right, right, right.
But then, the most prime part, it was myself, Nate, Cito. Three guys that really cared about playing.
Nate Colbert, right?
Yeah.
Right.
Now, Whitey Wiedemann was his bullpen coach.
Right.
He lived like, he was single and he lived on Malibu, you know.
Right.
He used
right.
to catch clams.
Right.
You know, and he'd make clam chowder.
So they were like an expansion team then, though, weren't they?
Well,
a little bit of Europe.
He was there a few years.
Right. Yeah.
But the thing was, is that, you know, I've never played for a ball club where the home team gets fed.
Okay.
And Whitey Wiedemann make homemade clam chowder, and you know the guy sitting there. And
you're like on a vacation or something.
Yeah, but it's,
like,
it just seemed like that's all I cared about.
You weren't there to play ball.
No, just get up
there
to eat.
Right, right. Yeah.
You know,
right.
Because you know when you're home, they want your ass home.
Right.
With
right.
your family.
Right.
So they run your ass out of the clubhouse. You know,
right.
on the road they feed you.
Right, 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 right.
So that was just a devastating experience. That ball club.
Mm-hmm.
I just was never so depressed in my entire life.
How often did you play?
I broke my finger sliding to second base about the fourth game I played.
Uh-huh.
Took me a week. You know,
right.
I played. These were all broken.
Right.
And catching.
Right.
But I couldn't hold the bat real tight. But I finally got back. And then Don Zimmer was the manager.
Right.
And things didn't work out between me and him either. You know, I was the best catcher.
Uh-huh.
But his buddy Pat Corrales
uh-huh.
was on the ball club.
Okay.
Pat caught everything.
Okay.
You know.
Right.
So trouble started there.
Mm-hmm.
And then Buzzy Bavese was the general manager.
Okay.
And when I went over there, I told him I wanted a raise.
Yeah.
I says, Greg, I'm not going to give you a raise right now. He says, but I'll tell you what to do. He says, you come to my office for the last road trip. And he says, we'll negotiate. And 73's contract.
Mm-hmm.
So I did just what he said.
Right.
And he said to me, when I went to his office, he said, I'm not going to sign you to a new contract. I'm thinking about releasing you.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I almost come across the table on him.
Uh-huh.
I mean, don't lie to me.
Right.
Don't do that.
Right.
I never hurt anybody in my life. That's all right. I want to do. It's my only crime in this game is I love to play it.
Mm-hmm.
And when the waivers, between Christmas and New Year's, nobody looks at the waiver list because it's the holidays, right? But that's when he stuck me on a waiver list. I made waivers. I got released. So I went to work for a car dealership back in Jersey.
Mm-hmm.
And my dad said, why don't you go ahead and contact these different clubs? So I sent out at that time, it was 24 letters.
Right.
23.
Right.
I didn't write Minnesota because Calvin Griffin. I hated him like poison.
Okay.
And as it turned out, I sent them out on a Tuesday. My secretary typed them up, and I sent them out on a Tuesday, you know, trying to get hooked up again. And Wednesday morning, there was a mailgram in my mailbox at home.
Yeah.
So there's no way these clubs could have got these letters yet.
That's right.
It was from Eddie Robinson,
okay,
with the Atlanta Braves.
Uh-huh.
He said, contact me.
He sent you his message before he got yours.
Exactly.
Email. Right. Yeah.
He said, contact me, I want to talk to you. So I'll make a long story short, I signed a AAA contract with Richmond for $3,000 a month.
Okay.
I told him, I said, I've got a family here. I said, I've got to be careful. I says, I need my first month's salary in advance. Or give me my first month's salary and then just take a little bit out of it.
Would you mind mentioning what you were making in your last year?
When I played in the last year in San Diego, $45,000.
$45,000. And what was your highest in the career?
That was it.
That was it. And what was your first major league salary?
$7,000.
Okay.
And had a fight for $500 more.
Okay. All right. So, I'm sorry. So what happened with...
So I went to spring training with Atlanta.
Right.
And I had a hell of a spring. Mm-hmm. I knew exactly what my job was going to be.
Mm-hmm.
I knew exactly what it was going to be. Eddie Matthews was the manager.
Okay.
And I was to be brought off the bench. Mm-hmm. Or fill in. Played a ball game against the Yankees. Spring training towards the end.
Mm-hmm.
And we're in the late innings, and on first and second, the guy on second was the winning run.
Mm-hmm.
Ron Gronkowski's pitching for the Yankees.
Okay.
Matthews called me off the bench. Again, this is how much you hit. First pitch he threw me, I hit a bullet right field.
Uh-huh.
And he comes, said, I got this club made.
Uh-huh.
I just did exactly what he wanted to see.